This Focus with Paul W. Smith podcast is sponsored by Victor's Home Solutions. Visit victors.com, experts in home solutions.
And welcome to the Detroit Golf Club. We're here for the second round of the Rocket Mortgage Classic. This is cut day today. Bob Krause is joining me once again. It's great to have you with us.
Thanks for having me again, Mark. I really appreciate it.
So cut day, to me, is the most exciting day of the whole tournament, even more so than the championship. We were talking about it this morning. The championship round on Sunday, the final round, you kind of know I'm going to finish second, I'm going to finish third, I'm going to win the thing. It's a big deal to win, but there's movement. Today, the field gets cut where you're either in or out. You're either getting paid or you're not. And that's a lot of stress on these players. As we're watching, a couple of our amateurs are right above or below the cut line right now. They want to get in, but your thoughts on a day, on Friday?
Yeah, you're either going to make money or you're going to spend money. I mean, you've already spent a couple grand to get here and all the other things that go along with this. And either you're going to play well and you make your expenses back or make a little extra on the side. And just hope you don't have a two-way miss on the range early on, you know what I mean?
There's been a lot of talk about Miles Russell, the 15-year-old. He's 3-under today. Puts him one stroke below the cut line. He's through 12. 15 years old, you're playing on the PGA Tour. You're one stroke away from the cut line with just a few holes left to play. That kid is he's steel, man. He's fun to watch. He's energetic. He's 15.
He's very poised.
Very poised.
I mean, it's unbelievable. I saw him yesterday on 15 on the Tryon Cabana. And he hit a great shot to 8 feet. Unfortunately, didn't make birdie there. And then I just saw him tee off at 10 here. He just ripped it down the right-hand side. He had like a little 9-iron in. I didn't see what he did on the other hole. But like his poise and demeanor and the way he carries himself is just very impressive. And he's got a very bright future, as we all know.
We're going to be talking with Jeff Judge in the next segment. He is the chairman of the Junior Amateur that's going to be taking place at Oakland Hills, where Miles will come back. With a lot of other talented young players. We're looking forward to that conversation. He's actually with us now. I wanted to get both of your comments. You've had an opportunity to walk around the course to see some of the action. This is the sixth year of the Rocket Mortgage Classic. It's a PGA Tour event that's different than most, Jeff, in that it has a lot of impact in this community from the standpoint of we're one of two events in an urban downtown footprint, Atlanta and the Tour Championship being the other. What are some of your high-level thoughts about PGA Tour coming back to Detroit and being played at the Donald Ross Detroit Golf Club?
Well, first off, Mark, thanks for having me. I think it's fantastic what Rocket Mortgage, Dan Gilbert, did to bring golf back to Southeast Michigan. It had been a long time since we'd had the PGA Tour up at Warwick Hills. So to bring golf back to the community here, there's such a passion for it in this area, but most of all to bring it to Detroit, to be able to let the community around here get exposed to golf, be part of it, what it does to give back to the community in terms of all the foundation support that it can give. I couldn't be prouder of the city for hosting it and for Rocket Mortgage being the driving force behind it.
And Bob, really the whole ecosystem of sport in Detroit right now, we remember the days of the early 2000s when the Ryder Cup and the Super Bowl and Major League Baseball All-Star Games, that all went away. And now you're starting to see the announcement by Oakland Hills with all of the USGA events coming in. This and the Grand Prix are the two annual events that kind of are the backbone that surround our four pro teams. But the draft and all the city is really thriving right now.
Yeah, and thanks to Rocket Mortgage. I mean, obviously, Mark, you're a big part of that. And, you know, Michigan and Detroit is really becoming the place to be. In all reality, we've had, you know, the Red Wings actually made a nice little run at the end there. The Lions are doing great. The Pistons hopefully are going to make a turn here really quick. Rocket Mortgage is good. The fan experience here is amazing. I played, 10 years professionally, and what I realized at this event is the ropes are closer to the players. Like you can actually get up really close to these guys, and you can see their reactions on the good shots, bad shots. All the viewing areas that you guys have done out here have been just fantastic.
7 different viewing areas for the public where there's not that additional cost to get close up front, elevated, be able to see fans. That's a big deal. There's an individual from this area that's important to all of us. He's with NBC. He does an incredible job promoting Detroit. He's on the board of the Rocket Giving Fund. probably one of the best broadcasters of all time, not just this time. Mike Tirico, who will be at the Olympics. He's covering most of the events now, but he is so important to the game of golf. He does racing. He does gymnastics. He does everything. You know Mike. Incredible guy.
He's just an amazing guy. And I think that he's – you ever watch the old Star Treks where Data, you know, you just plug him into the wall?
Right.
I mean, the guy is just amazing. So, and his knowledge across the board on all sports is so impressive. I've never seen someone that has that kind of knowledge that can literally call a golf tournament one day, a basketball championship, then fly overseas and call a F1 race or whatever he's doing, or a Super Bowl. I mean, it's really impressive. And you being, your former AD – you've been around it all a lot. For you to give, Mike that kind of accolades, it really means a lot. Mike is the real deal.
And Jeff, I know he's out at Oakland Hills quite a bit and does so much for a lot of the programming that you have out there.
We couldn't ask for a bigger proponent for Southeast Michigan for getting big sporting events here and just such a quality individual.
It's I've been talking to him, and it's interesting the type of folks or the folks that are going to be complimenting him. They've got Snoop Dogg, who's going to be one of the anchors at the Olympics. They've got Peyton Manning, who, they say he's football, but he can adapt to everything. And then Kelly Clarkson, the first winner of American Idol. So they're obviously going for a different vibe with the Olympics this year. So it's going to be fun to watch that. The competition out there, you've looked at the leaderboard. Some of your thoughts, Bob, on what's going out on the course today on cut day?
I think the guys are going low. I think it's out there to be had. I mean, overcast skies, greens are going to be soft, fairways are going to be wide, obviously, because the ball's not rolling out. So I think if they can get keep those greens up at the 12 or 13, I think they're at right now, and they're rolling pretty strong, I think it's going to remain to get low. I think the cut line will probably go to 3 or 4. Hopefully the young man, the 15-year-old, can sneak a couple birdies out.
When people say that the course is soft, most minds go to the green, that the green's easier to manage. But the fairways are really the difference maker of, is the ball going to stay in the fairway, which it does more, I think, when it's soft.
Yep.
When it's firm and hard, the opportunity for that to go into the rough is going to be enhanced.
I call it like plug and play, right? So, like, you hit a drive down the middle, or let's say you come off it a little bit, or you kind of pull it a little bit, your chances of staying in the fairway are greater if it's softer. So it's a little, everything increases another 10 or 15 yards, actually, in your mind. So you can take a little bit more of aggressive line. You can take a little bit bigger rip at it. You can certainly fire at the holes. They're not playing lift, clean, and place, are they, today, Mark?
No, okay. Only the one that went down into the drain.
Oh, well, that's pretty
cool. Who was that, Dave? Who hit the ball? It was like putt-putt, right? It went right down into the drain.
Batia.
Yeah.
I mean, we got the left-handed Batia. He's playing good. He's already won a couple times on tour. He won this year already. So I think he could be the guy that could get to 24, 25 under. If it doesn't get dry out there, it's going to be 24 to 26, I believe.
They're gonna chase after the lowest of all time. So it'll be fun to watch. We're gonna be back here on Focus from the Detroit Golf Club, talking with Jeff a little bit more about what's happening out at Oakland Hills with all the USGA events, but especially the one coming up, the Junior Am here in mid July. We'll be back on Focus right after this. Welcome back to the Detroit Golf Club second round cut day here at the Rocket Mortgage Classic. The Monster is ready for the return of its championship of the past, 7,300 yards on the South Course. Both courses are going to be used. And to tell us a little bit more about it, Jeff Judge, the former president of Oakland Hills Country Club and the chairman of the U.S. Junior Amateur. Jeff, it's great to have you with us here on Focus.
It's great to be with you, Mark.
So the event is, they announced it. It's like, oh, that's a long ways away. And now it's here, the first of eight, I believe it is, that are coming in from the USGA.
That's right. So we've got eight USGA championships coming up over the next 25 years, the first being the U.S. Junior Amateur. Super excited about it, and it's coming fast.
The event is toward the middle end of July, July 22nd through 27th.
That's right.
What's the experience going to be like? We know a PGA Tour event is usually 4 days. It's Thursday through Sunday. What's the format for the Junior Am?
So the Junior Amateur has 264 of the world's best amateur golfers. These are all golfers that are 18 years or younger, coming from around the world, as far away as Sri Lanka, China. So it's really an international event. First 2 days are stroke play, so we'll use both the north and south course. They'll play a round on each. there'll be a cut to the low 64. One of the most exciting things of the junior amateur, the U.S. amateur, is there's typically a playoff to get down to the field of 64. That'll happen on Wednesday morning on the north course, and then we'll move to match play over on the south course only starting on Wednesday, culminating with a 36-hole final match on Saturday to determine the champion.
You may not know this off the top of your head, but you may. How many rounds of golf will a young player play from the time they start until they win a championship?
The two players that will get to the final, it'll be almost 200 rounds or 200 holes of golf.
Wow.
Yeah.
Yep. That's amazing.
It's a lot of golf.
And the qualification process, when you look at those 264, what's the pathway for them to get their spot in the junior am?
So the USGA awarded about 75 exemptions based on AJGA standings. Miles Russell would be an example of that, number one ranked AJGA player in the world. There was 48 qualifiers around the United States, Mexico, and Canada. They just wrapped up this week to fill out the field. And then a new qualification that the USGA started just this year is the winners of state junior amateur championships automatically get an exemption into the junior amateur. So for Michigan, that's coming up here July 8th through 11th. So we'll have another local Michigan golfer that will be participating, which will be super exciting.
That's great. We have this little bond because we have so many young players playing this year in the Rocket. We have more chocolate shakes going out than Guinnesses. So it's fun to have that connection. And, you know, your friend of mine, Mike Dietz, connected us together. And you have such a great collection of members that believe in this event, want these championships out there. And it's exciting that they're coming back to this marketplace.
It's been 8 years since we've hosted a championship. This will be our 12th USGA championship, and it's really part of our DNA and our vision, and our membership embraces hosting these.
For people in the area that love golf and want to see these future players, that many of which will be playing on the tour, what's the experience like for the fan? How do they get access to the course? What's the cost, and what will they see out on the course as far as the opportunity to watch these players play?
So the junior amateur is open to the public. There's no ticket sales. We've got parking at Bloomfield Hills High School. We're actually working on a couple other locations, just given what we expect to be some increase in attendance. Yep. Rideshare drop-off as well to get out there. But once they're there, it's really a limited ropes experience. You walk down the fairway, stand, 10 yards away from these fantastic players, and you're right up close. So it's a very unique experience to watch high-level competitive golf.
Yeah, and the Charlie Woods effect is going to be in coming to here, so you guys are going to get a real quick advanced education on crowd control here real quick, especially if Tiger shows up. And so how you guys think you're going to handle that?
We've got a lot of planning going on since last Wednesday when he qualified, and we'll be ready. I mean, we're used to hosting championships. This is taking it to a little bit of a bigger level with Charlie qualifying and the expectations around that, but there's plenty of other talented players that are coming that have, and Miles Russell obviously being one of those, it's got a lot of brand recognition, and even more so now playing here.
I would actually like to see Miles Russell pull this thing off. He's a great kid. I mean, we talked about it earlier. He's a great kid, so it would be good for the
USGA. Love to see him make the cut. Talking about the course itself, it's gone under some renovations out on the course, some trees. I was mentioning to you before we got on, I lived in Pittsburgh in the 90s when Oakmont did a much more dramatic reduction of trees. It was kind of there. They saw some aerials, and they were taking it back to the way the course was designed. Was that the same with Oakland Hills?
Yes. When we hired Gil Hands to do our golf course restoration, he really took the course back to what Donald Ross had originally intended it to be. So this is the first championship that course is going to be played the way Donald Ross originally intended it to be, and it's going to be first time for it to be on the world stage, which is super exciting.
So the listeners, just when they go out and the viewers go out and watch the, how do you guys going to dress the golf course out? So the first few rounds are going to be, not as much rough. The greens are going to be a little slower. Can you give these listeners and people that are going to go out there and watch these kids play? Like, obviously the last match is going to be harder, longer. The greens are going to be faster, that kind of thing. I mean, is that the process you guys are going to take on this?
So the USGA will handle course setup. The rough is going to be at 4 inches. The fairways are going to be firm and fast, and the greens are going to be quick. So they're setting this up like a U.S. Open setup. It's going to challenge these young players, and it's going to be great to see how they handle it. In terms of course length, it'll be 7,300 yards in the south. I suspect during match play they'll start moving some tee boxes around, maybe create some short par fours, give players an opportunity to, you know, take a gamble if they're down and want to try and make a birdie. So it'll be interesting to see how they move around. But the first 2 days, you got to get 264 golfers through. So that's a lot of play.
Yeah. And it also, you have to make that separation of play. Like if it's the tamer a course is, you can't separate the 264. And that's one of the reasons the USGA comes in and boosts it up a little bit, right?
That's right.
Yeah. Members loving this? Is it something they embrace and have pride about bringing that onto their home course?
They are embracing it. I think now that it's here and it's real, it's really, I think, given our club something to rally around as a membership. And certainly with some name recognition now of some of these young competitors, that's, I think, made it even more exciting.
Is there anything else? These guys are going to come into town, and it's, I mean, 256 is 256 kids playing. They're going to have families with them. They're going to be enjoying downtown Detroit, Birmingham, other locations. It's really, these kind of events are so good because folks from the outside get to come here and see our community, talk about it, and so many of them want to come back afterwards. And that's one of the exciting things about hosting visitors.
Absolutely. I think for folks that aren't from here to be able to come see what Southeast Michigan has to offer, what the greater Detroit area, it's just great exposure for us, and they'll spread the word. And as we said, this is the first of 8 USG championships, so we've got a pretty regular cadence of these over the next 10 years with 4. So
the story I always like to tell, Jeff, is back when the first event came in here and we were telling players you have to stay downtown at the Shinola, and they're like, they begrudgingly, you know. And then right after that first year, they're like, can we get our room next year already? And it's they love the hotels that we have here. They love the restaurants. And I don't think that was the perception. The NFL draft took that to another level of folks coming into town and seeing it and having a great time.
Absolutely.
Well, I wish you all the best and luck. You know, we're all there to support all that you have. Golf is so important, whether it's in northern Michigan, down here, this state thrives on the sport, and we appreciate what you're doing to bring this great event to Southeast Michigan.
Well, thank you, Mark. Appreciate the time.
Appreciate you. Any other? You got to have something else.
I'm just curious about where the range. Like these, you got a 256 players. I know what you guys normally do in the U.S. Open, or you use the North Course, you know, 10 and 1 tee as a range down, you know, down there. Where are you guys going to place these kids for range?
Maple.
Practice?
They're going to hit right down Maple.
Mark's backyard. I mean he's got the biggest house in Birmingham. So
that's not true.
So they'll use the same range the members use. Obviously they're going to be restricted in what they can hit. They're not going to be hitting drivers, and we've got some arrangements at other locations for them to go, you know, work through the whole bag. But
that's a great question, though. It's
Yeah,
you got another, a lot of guys
another,
out there.
Another logistical challenge you have to figure out. So
that's fun running these, isn't it?
it is.
So, Jeff Judge, he will be chairing the U.S. Junior Amateur coming into Detroit and Birmingham and Southeast Michigan, July 22 through 27. Great opportunity for you to get out and enjoy that. We're going to be back with Charlie Besser. Automotive News is brought to you by Bridgestone. Getting people down to the road matters, but getting generations down them, that's what really matters. Bridgestone. Visit whatreallymatters.com to learn more. We'll be back right after this.
So what we're actually doing?
It's an amazing thing how a company that most people have never heard of can support so many other businesses and then let them down when things go wrong. In auto retail, CDK Global is that company. It's the biggest provider of so-called dealership management systems. That's the collection of apps and servers that auto retailers need to operate. It's deeply involved in how new and used cars are sold and financed, among countless tasks it handles. So the cyber attack that led CDK to shut all operations has been incredibly challenging for the 15,000 auto dealers that use it. Some customers have already sued, seeking damages for lost business. While that probably feels righteous in the moment, they should be mindful not to weaken the company or sue it out of existence. That would only leave the industry with fewer and smaller partners to fight off future attacks from digital bad guys. With this week's Automotive View, I'm Jamie Butters, host of the Daily Drive podcast and executive editor of Automotive News.
Welcome back to the Detroit Golf Club for the second round of the Rocket Mortgage Classic. It's an exciting day out here watching some of the numbers move around, and we will continue to do that and give you some updates here in the second half of the show. One of the things I love to do is sit around with folks and go, what do you think about this? Or we could do that. Or, just try to stimulate creative thoughts on what's that next thing. Let's try to play a game on an aircraft carrier. There's one individual I've been around for quite a while that has a mind that surpasses mine in that kind of thought process. It's bold. It's creative. He's been working at the forefront of lifestyle, culinary, leadership, sports. He moves in a lot of different markets. Charlie Besser, the founder, chairman, and CEO of Intersport, it is such an honor to have you on the grounds here at the Detroit Golf Club.
It's my honor to be with the great Mark Hollis.
Intersport is our partner, and they do so much for Rocket Companies. Jason Langwell and the team, they are the sales, marketing, and operations group that brings this Dan Gilbert's vision to life.
To life, yes. Yeah. We have a great team. And it's demonstrated by what's happening out on the golf course. I mean, the place looks great. I'm so proud to be here. When I get a chance to walk around and see what Jason and Brittany have put together, it's just crazy good, and it's so exciting. And it's so exciting for us to be able to help bring to life Dan's commitment to Detroit.
As you're thinking about Jason's compensation, I want you to make sure you're aware. The fan shop has been rated number one on the whole tour based on its diversity, its creativity. The things that are going on the course wins awards every year. The Fairway Award for diversity and inclusion, it's at the top.
Yep.
This event has to bring some pride, but there are so many other events that you're involved with. One, you just launched last year down in Florida that – in some ways, I think kind of for folks my age, rises to a Ryder Cup type of an experience, and that's the format that's played, right. Three different teams. How did that come about, and kind of tell our listeners what year one was like with that event?
So it's the World Champions Cup, and it is a three-team event for players at 50 and older. So most of these guys, when they hit about 35, they can't play Ryder Cup anymore because younger guys are coming up. So they all want to play team again. It's the thing that made them the happiest. They all wanted to be on a Ryder Cup or on a President's Cup team. So we were taking a look at it, and probably a decade ago I had this idea of let's mash up the Ryder Cup and the President's Cup. Let's play it with the tour champions, and let's put together something that's really extraordinary. It's global. And what we have created is what is now the fourth global teams major. So you have the Ryder Cup, you have the Solheim Cup, you have the President's Cup, and now you have the World Champions Cup. And the players are, we think, have the most famous leaderboard in all of golf. Every name on the leaderboard is somebody that we all knew, grew up with, and they can still play like crazy. And these guys want to kill each other, which is what's fantastic.
International competition.
You got it. When they get out there, it's everybody's nice and friendly around the clubhouse, and they get out on the golf course, they want to kill each other. So we had a great first year, launched it last year. It will be played again this year, December 5 through 8, at the Concession Golf Club, which is one of the elite golf clubs in all of the world, in Bradenton, Florida. Spectacular track. And we're really looking forward to year two. We think it's a 100-year event. We think it's going to be like the Ryder Cup. It's just going to go on forever. The enthusiasm, here's how I know it was a hit. I went up to the American Family Tournament in Madison, Wisconsin, just to see some of the guys. And players' wives are walking around with World Champions Cup sweaters and shirts on. Vijay Singh played in the Masters. I've never seen this. Using the head covers from the World Champions Cup. I've never seen any player ever have the head covers of an event on his clubs and then playing in the Masters with it. So the big thing for us is we had to get the players bought in. They are so bought in. We had to get a great golf course. We have a great golf course. The rest is starting to take care of itself. We're excited.
And one of the reasons it's relevant in this area, Bob, is that we go to Florida. When you get to be my age, you want to get out of the cold. So there's a lot of Michiganders that ended up down there on the fairways watching this event.
Oh, absolutely. And I know the Lakewood Ranch area.
Yep.
It's right there. I used to live down there, and I used to play that golf course all the time.
Isn't it a great track?
It's a great track. They have that irrigation and drying system underneath the greens.
Yes.
It's a Tony Jacklin, Jack Nicklaus design. And it's a good test of golf. Now, they speed those greens up. It's a nightmare.
It is a nightmare.
You can't miss it in certain spots. It's really tough.
You should come down this year, December 5 through 8.
I would love it, Mark. Can I come down with you?
Yeah.
I think you guys should – let's do the show down there.
Let's do the show down there. The John Shippen, the Jackson T. Stevens Cup with the college kids, those are all events that are changing the game for the good. And those are all innovative concepts that have come out of you and the Intersport team. Also in the culinary world, you're very close with the James Beard Foundation and the work that they're doing.
Right. So it's a real honor for us to be able to represent the James Beard Foundation. They represent all the chefs, and they are looking out for the best interest of chefs, the rising chefs, the current chefs, and we have the benefit of producing their big event, the James Beard Awards in Chicago. There's like 3,000 people in the Lyric Opera. It's amazing, the enthusiasm and the excitement that these chefs have to be at the big event.
Yeah.
It's just crazy good, and you meet so many interesting people, and talk about diversity. I mean, there's every kind of person on the planet, and you meet someone, and you don't expect it, and they turn out to be the number one chef in the country. It's been amazing, and really a great run for us. We've taken the basic elements that we use in sports, production, storytelling, great distribution, sponsorship and all that stuff, and we applied it to the James Beard Foundation. It's working great.
If you think golf, Bob, is competitive, watch the first couple episodes of The Bear. It just came out, season three. It's cutthroat and it's competitive to be a chef in today's.
I'm fascinated with these chefs. I call them culinary artists. I mean,
they are.
I don't know how. I'm fortunate to be married to a great cook chef, my wife, and I just look at her how she. I don't know how you put certain ingredients with certain things and all of a sudden it tastes good. Like it's exactly. Fascinating to me. It's like the golf swing. Like it's, there's so many intricacies at the bottom of the arc and there's so many little, like this, the dash of that. It's really fascinating.
It's almost like watching a scientist do a chemistry experiment. Isn't
it? It is. Yeah.
Bringing stuff that you would have no idea work together and you put them together and we're all the beneficiaries.
And how can they taste something and know what's good or bad for the whole group? It's really fascinating to watch.
Speaking of the kitchen, pickleball. You love pickleball.
Yes, sir. About 20 months ago, our company had the good fortune to be able to acquire the APP, the Association of Pickleball Players. It is the original professional and amateur tour. It is the only tour that is sanctioned by USA Pickleball. We are next week going to be in Newport, California, Newport Beach, and we will have the largest tournament in the history of pickleball. There's going to be 2,000 amateur players and I think 400 or 500 professionals, and it'll be televised nationally. And there are 50 million Americans playing pickleball. The average age, this might surprise you, the average age is 34.
Yeah.
The fastest growing segment is 17 and under.
No, it touches all ages. It's a sport. We could have you on for 2 hours and still wouldn't be touching the surface of what you and I like to talk about.
I'd like to interview you, sir.
I'm sure you would.
I want to talk to you.
We'll see how that one comes along.
Yeah, that's right.
Thanks so much, Charlie Besser, the founder, chairman, and CEO of Intersport. They do a great job here at the Rocket Mortgage Classic, the John Shippen NCAA Final Four, everything else they're a part of. I can't thank you enough for joining us here.
My honor. My absolute honor. Great to be with you guys.
We'll be back on Focus right after this. Welcome back to Focus. We're at the Detroit Golf Club. Second round of the Rocket Mortgage Classic is underway. The first morning groups are out. Afternoon groups are coming up. Win a trip to see the Eagles at the Sphere in Las Vegas, an iconic band, an iconic venue. The Eagles live at the Sphere in Las Vegas performing 16 shows this September 20th through December 14th. And you can be there. We've got two tickets, two trips for two with flights, a stay at the Venetian Resort in Las Vegas, dinner at the Chica Las Vegas, two tickets to the show, plus Vibe VIP experience packages. Prizes are provided by Live Nation. To enter for your chance to win this fabulous prize, text this hour's national keyword, KEEP, K-E-E-P. That's K-E-E-P, Bob.
Thank you.
I see you doing it right now. Yeah. To 95819. For full details and official contest rules, visit WJR.com. Chelsea Brum is in the house. She's back. Our regular guest comes in every year. We always have to get that update from you. You know what's going on with the PGA Tour, and How are we doing this year? You personally.
Oh, okay, good. I was like, we don't have enough time for that, Mark. No. Personally, we're good. We just had, you know, the schedule changes made things a little weird for us. We had a couple weeks at home mid-June, which we've never had. So Ryan was hard at work on a new simulator project for himself. I was gardening. We sound really old, I know.
Yeah. I'll show you my pictures of the tomato plants, and we'll take
yes, a look. Yes, lovely, perfect. Yeah. Yeah, my herbs are booming. But, yeah, it's good. You know, we're kind of in a busy stretch right now, 5 weeks in a row. So always love kicking it off in Detroit.
And this year I put a little pressure on you. I said, can you bring along a friend?
You sure did. Nothing like put me on the spot. But luckily I have a couple of good ones out here, some of my best actually. So I brought with me Lana Damon. We go way back to our rookie year on tour. Actually, Joel got my number and said, I'm going to give my number to your wife. I think you guys are going to be best friends. And
he was right.
He was right. Here we be.
So, Lana, how is this? You've had kind of one of those years where everybody gets to see you, right? Netflix had a special, and
yes.
You were a big star there. But it's been
Weird.
Explain what it's like traveling around, being part of this. Joel and Ryan, they're out on the course. You're taking care of a lot of other things.
Yeah, it's a grind. It's not as glamorous as people think. We now have a 17-month-old, so that puts a little bit of extra thinking into everything. And you just do it. I don't know. They're like, you know, they have practice, they have golf, and then I'm over here taking the kid to daycare and figuring out meals and yeah, we just started getting a lot more houses. It's a little more comfortable to be in a house.
Ryan and Chelsea, they just kind of, Michigan is golf, and how did you get into the whole PGA Tour with Joel? How did you meet? How did it happen?
Oh, gosh, I did not expect to be in this world at all. my first job was actually on a golf course.
Okay. And where was that
at? I thought it was really boring. Still is, by the way. Yeah, golf still is boring, but it was at Greyhawk Ranch in Northern California. Mm-hmm. And but Joel and I met standing in line at a pizza place really randomly. And that's how I entered this world. And
you're standing in line at a pizza place. Who took control of the situation?
I did.
You did.
Yeah. We were just chatting. He said he'd buy a slice if I got up the line faster. And I was like, well, you seem really nice. Here's my phone number. My friends were like, not this again. No, literally, my friends were like, you're not supposed to give your number out again. And I was
just like that.
No, and famous last words, I was like, oh, that's fine. I'll never hear from him again. And that was 12 years ago.
Well, here we are.
Yeah, here we are.
12 years ago and the 17-month-old.
Chelsea, yeah. playing here in Detroit, playing in Michigan, we noticed in the first 2 days a special bag that Ryan's carrying around has some very familiar markings on it.
Yeah, I don't even know how this all came together, but we have always wanted to do a special patch for Detroit. Detroit sports are near and dear to our hearts. I bring Lions gear on the road. He's always wearing Lions or Tigers hats or Red Wing hats or whatever. And we had an opportunity to attend training camp last fall. And I don't know, ever since then, our embeddedness has just gotten deeper. And we just were like, hey, let's do it. So we pulled a couple logos, threw them on the bag. Obviously, worked with the Rocket team to grab the 313 logo to really pull it into the tournament. And I think it turned out awesome.
I think it looks slick.
It's pretty slick, yeah.
I think one of the things that you need to know is generally when you go in and ask a pro sports franchise to use their marks, it's a very restrictive, very complicated process. All of them, it was a no-brainer. They didn't even go into the process. They just said, yes, absolutely, Ryan can use that. And it wasn't – you would think it would be easy to do that. We've tried with other things. It's not, and that's a tribute to you and to Ryan and what you mean to this state. So it's great that he's carrying it. It's equally great that all those programs came up and saw the value that Ryan has to the state of Michigan and you have to the state of Michigan.
Thanks. Yeah, it's pretty special. We've gotten a lot of good feedback. It's hard to not have Sparty on the bag, but it's got its time.
Yeah. you go on Instagram, Travel Eats and Treats is something everybody's going to want to jump into. It's some of the great updates of life on the tour.
Yes.
I was looking at the Olive Board Charcuterie and Wine Bar in Hamilton, Ontario as one of your posts there at the Canadian.
Like by far one of the best charcuterie boards that's ever been served to us at a restaurant. I feel like a lot of times you go and they're like, here's one cheese, one salami. This one had everything. I love making charcuterie boards myself, so it was definitely up to standards.
Some people call me a stalker. It's research. I was doing research for this interview.
That's all right. It is out in the public.
It is out in the public. It wasn't hard to find.
No, it's not hard to find. No, yeah, it's a little hobby of mine that I started, and it has slowed down a little bit, but I try to still get on there once in a while, and our garden has been a good feature in that, speaking of being old and talking about tomatoes.
Yeah, Lana, I had the pleasure of playing with your husband, Joel, in the pro-am my first nine. Can you give, I guess it's a question for both of you guys, everything is a glitz and glamour, right? Everyone thinks the PGA Tour and travel is, oh, it's so exciting. Can you give us a point of view from the wives, you know, side of what, you guys are really holding everything together. I chased the dream for, I played on the mini tours, went to Q School. I personally know for 10 years what it took for all that. Can you give people an insight of what really goes on behind the scenes? It's not just making the putt and grabbing a check.
No, yeah. I mean, a lot of things go into it. We book houses. We book travel. I think a lot of misconceptions from people is that, you know, the PGA Tour does all of our travel for us, and right. It's all on us. All the booking, all the scheduling. And then, I mean, sometimes you are in an amazing place. Sometimes you're not in an amazing place. Sometimes you get there and you're like, oh, we got to pack up and move and let's do it all again. And
yeah, I mean, luckily for us, like, we do have a really nice village built out here, you know, and often we're staying with another family or friends, and it takes the burden off too. It's like, if you're early and they're late, maybe we'll grab dinner. We'll make dinner Thursday night. And
watch
then
a kid
they'll
or
make,
something
yeah,
like
we don't usually grab the kids from daycare. There's pretty strict rules around that.
but Chelsea can cook a mean meal. So,
and vice versa. Anytime you can get that is good. But yeah, and it's like, you know, we're going to pack up our car after this week and drive to Moline, Illinois for the John Deere. So it's not, you know, we're not headed to the private airstrip and throwing the bags on. And
yeah, it's pretty back to back. It's one thing after the other for sure.
You're not going to spend much time together this afternoon. Ryan's going off here in just a few minutes, 105 off tee number 10, and Joel's going off at 127. Where is your mindset right now? Is this relaxing? Are you stressful? Is it?
I'm not stressed.
I'm
we
not
were
stressed
before.
They're not hitting any
you
shots.
You used
Mark.
To be though.
We've
you
been
used
doing
to be
this
intense.
For too long. Too long.
I actually get like a little stressed if you're flirting with the cut line and we have a few holes to go on Friday, like
yeah,
today.
Yeah,
it has to be in a few
that.
Hours. I hope we're not in that situation, yeah. But right.
Yeah,
it gets going.
Yeah, if you're in that position, you're like, gosh, can we just make the cut? Like, you know, you're always happy to be there on a weekend, and then you get stressed. Obviously, if you're in contention, but otherwise, it's golf. There's a lot of holes to be played. There's, you know, four long days. You gotta keep it in perspective. Otherwise, you'll just be a stress ball the whole time.
A lot of good luck and bad luck coming.
You both are delightful. You represent your husbands and the family so well, but also the PGA Tour and all that you do there with your foundation
thank
with
you.
Cancer and,
yes,
and
yes.
All that. It's thank you for being here. Thanks for joining us. Good luck. We'll be out there to see you after the show's over and cheer the guys on.
Thanks for having
us. Thanks,
gentlemen.
It was awesome.
We'll be back on Focus right after the top of the hour. And welcome back to the Detroit Golf Club for the second round of the Rocket Mortgage Classic. It's great to have you with us here for the second day, filling in for Paul W. Smith, and quite the honor it is. Terry Rattigan is joining us. He's also been a voice for Paul W. Smith and a few other shows on WJR. It's great to have you with us, Terry.
Mark, thank you so much for having me. What a great day.
It is. Chairman of the Detroit Sports Organization and does just an incredible job. NFL Draft, you were right in the midst of bringing to Detroit what's arguably the event that's going to propel us into the future.
There's so much momentum right now, and you hear it from everywhere you travel. People are just talking about what they saw, what they witnessed, whether they were here or whether they were watching on TV. It had a sea change effect on the image of our city of Detroit.
When you look at events like the Draft or Rocket Mortgage Classic, all the events that come into Detroit, the collaboration here hasn't always been the greatest. In recent years, we've really seen the connectivity between private and public, the mayor's office, city services, the police, and Chief White. There's something special going. You used to feel that here back in the early 2000s. It went away. It's back, and it's back with a vengeance, and big events are choosing to come to our city.
I've never seen anything like it. The collaboration that you talked about with public, private, government, companies, charities, nonprofits, the whole thing was just a complete collaboration of our community. And everyone had, I think in part thanks to Mayor Duggan and his vision, mm-hmm. But everyone just got in line with what the vision was, and there was just not the drama. It was every meeting, it felt like we were all pulling in the same direction. We all knew what we wanted to do, control the things we could control, and it was spectacular. And to have, you know, it be so incident-free, the weather cooperated, we shattered records. Everyone came away with a good feeling. It was just a happy, happy, historic weekend in Detroit.
And that doesn't come just by chance. It comes with a plan and a strategy and people understanding it. The city has to check egos at times. When I say the city, all of us, I have to check egos that, you know, my own individual gain can't be more important than the collective gain, because the collective gain is going to rise all of us. And I saw that strongly, whether it, you know, Dan and Varun with Rocket, Roger Penske, Mike Illich, you know, has been such a name here, and Chris, you know, picking that up for him, the Ford family, generations with, you know, Bill Sheelan and others. Those are iconic names, and those iconic names are starting to appreciate each other, value each other. You know, some have been around a long time. Some are getting to that second, third generation, and it's good to have them work together.
No doubt about it, and we can't thank Dan Gilbert and his team enough. Mark, you're part of that. Everything that there wouldn't have been an NFL draft in Detroit had it not been for you guys, and that was amazing. And what you've done to realize Dan's vision of bringing this tournament back and into the city of Detroit. So that's one example, but all the names that you mentioned, are you're absolutely right. There's this collaboration, there's this esprit de corps that you feel among all these giants of industry that are realizing we're competing with Indianapolis and Cleveland and Minneapolis and Chicago and for all of these signature events. And now with like the expansion of the Big Ten, that makes it even more competitive. So we know we win as a team, we win together. And it starts at the top, and then that amazingly trickles right down to the working level, and it's fabulous.
And those bids are not easy. They're, in many cases, they're an 8-10 year strategy and process to bring them in. One of the other good signs is gentlemen Detroiters, like a Stephen Ross, even Barry Gordy, Steve Ballmer, they're starting to, what's the best way to say this, love their city a little bit more again, I think. They're investing more and appearing more. It's that those are all good signs that you're proud of the city where you come from and you want to be involved.
Great signs. I would add Mr. Ballmer to that as well, who opened up his foundation. So he pretty much covers, you know, Seattle, L.A., where he owns the Clippers,
right,
and Detroit, where he was born and raised.
Right.
And so there's a lot of that going on. And kudos to the Crane homecoming. I think that's done a lot to bring mm-hmm. people back. Stephen yeah. Ross has come back for that. Dan Gilbert was very involved in luring people back through that avenue, and it's resulted in big-time investments.
Right, and the same with Ford and Central Station, and the show that they had was just resonated Detroit. It's from Diana Ross at the beginning and all the way through to Eminem. It was Detroit. I know you like that one, right, Bob?
Yeah, I was front and center on that one for sure. What I'm listening to, both you guys are very accomplished gentlemen, and what I'm listening to is that a lot of the leaders in Metro Detroit and beyond have put their egos aside for the greater good of the entire city, including the state of Michigan. And I think you guys are being very humble with what you guys have brought to the table, because I think both of you guys, people don't realize you guys are spearheading a lot of this yourselves. And I think the humility that you guys bring to the table, I think that the egos put aside for the greater good of the city and the surrounding areas and Michigan has been a great thing for all of you guys to be part of. I certainly am on the outskirts of it. I'm lucky enough to be friends with Mark and many other people. But I think people really need to realize that, you know, the two guys sitting here in front of me are the ones that really kind of spearhead a lot of this stuff.
And
so,
I don't want to forget Mary Barr and the work she does at General Motors, and there's such a collaboration going on right now, especially with the Detroit Grand Prix. The work, they're moving some offices over to the Hudson Building.
Exactly.
There's some thought process on what's going on down in Detroit from a bigger perspective. But it's, yeah, they're talking to each other, and that makes a difference versus having small kingdoms yep. that make up a bigger kingdom.
Amazing how when you communicate at a very adult level, things kind of get done.
They kind of get done. It's a good thing. What's on the horizon for the Detroit Sports Commission? I'm sure you can't announce another NFL draft right now.
No, we can't make any announcements right now, but I'll just tell you this, Mark, and you know this because you've been involved in all of it, but you know that term Detroit hustles harder? The Visit Detroit team, the Detroit Sports Commission team, they embody that. You will not find anyone more eager to bring people and signature events to our town than Claude Molinari and Dave Beachnow and Marty Dobek and their whole team. And those guys just never stop. They're like the Energizer Buddy, and I can't even keep up with them. They've got updates for me, and I'm like, wait, slow down. You know, there's so many different things, whether it's professional sports, whether it's NCAA, Big Ten, men's, women's. You know, there's so many things out there, and they are hungry for every one of them, and it's really exciting. We do have that, and I know you already had Jeff on earlier, but, you know, that's exciting. Next month we're going to have the U.S. Junior Amateur right there at Oakland Hills, and we went out there for the media day a couple weeks ago, and Steve Brady, the head pro there, and Phil Couture, the director of agronomy. I love that name, that title, and we walked the course with the media. And they talked about it, and they even, you know, Steve even hit some shots and said, here's, you know, if you're here, you're going to be in trouble because watch. And, you know, you could see all the undulations and the thick rough and everything. So super exciting. And that was before we knew that Charlie Woods was going to be playing.
Whole new element.
Yeah. So then it's a whole new element.
You just let it trickle out and get bigger and bigger and bigger, right?
Exactly.
Oh, Charlie Woods is coming. I can't thank you enough, Terry. There's so many exciting things going on. Appreciate having you. That's the first of eight. That's going to be out at the at Oakland Hills from the USGA. So exciting for that. We're going to let you get back out on the course, see some action. Right. There's some good things going on out there right now as we look at the leaderboard. But Terry Ragan, thank you so much for joining us on Focus. We'll be back right after this. Welcome back to Focus. We're here at the Detroit Golf Club. The second round of the Rocket Mortgage Classic is well underway now. Almost half the field has taken the tee, and the competition is fun. We're watching the cut line. See who's in, who's out, who's going home, who gets to stay here in the beautiful city of Detroit for a couple more days. The Rocket Mortgage Classic is connected to the community. It's the reason this event is here in so many different ways. First Tee of Detroit is one of those organizations that connects youth with really great things beyond sport. It's centered around golf, but it teaches young men and women how they can be part of society, how they can work together with each other. And we have two of the great leaders, Carl Bentley, who is the interim CEO, and Tanya Hill, chair of the board. It's great to have both of you here.
Thank you.
And talk about this great organization. I'd like to start with the immediate connectivity, Carl, with the Rocket Mortgage Classic. We just had a youth clinic. The kids get to go out and carried some of the standards for the Area 1-3. What was some of the reaction that you saw from both the participants and maybe some of the family and some of the pros?
Well, first off, thank you for having us here. And we're delighted to have this be our sixth year participating, and we're looking forward to doing much more. But the youth clinic itself really brings our families out and give a chance to interact with the golfers. It also, from the standard bearer standpoint, we have four of our kids out there today carrying, the signs and whatnot. You indicated earlier, it just gives not only the kids but the families an uplift, okay, into understanding, you know, how important, you know, life skills are built through the game of golf. And that's what we teach. We start at 7 and we take them all the way.
That's fantastic.
And Tanya, I want to turn to you. And before we talk about golf, I want to tell you how big of a fan I am of you personally and what you do as far as an entrepreneurial effort.
Thank you.
The approach that you take with the different products that you've designed is inspirational, but it also gives the young kids that are part of First Tee to see someone that's done it, to be a role model, and that's to be commended.
Thank you so much. I am just thrilled and honored to even have the position to be the board president for First Tee. My focus and goal is to obviously teach kids, you know, all the life skills that, you know, First Tee brings. But like you said, I'm an entrepreneur, so I want to teach them the business of golf. You know, there's a lot of opportunity in the golf world that a lot of kids, quite frankly, especially in Metro Detroit, a lot of the kids that we serve don't have that exposure. And so we want to make sure that we expose them to every level of golf and quite frankly, teach them to be philanthropists. You know, I'm looking to, you know, maybe have the next Tiger Woods to come through our program, you know, young man or female, and then give back to this organization. It's a great organization, and we are so grateful to be here. Again, like Carl said, the sixth year at the Rocket Mortgage Classic. It's just a blast.
And Carl, before Bob jumps in, because he's chomping at the bit over there, I can tell. You've been around in business here in the Detroit area for 40 years, 22 at Strategic Staffing Solutions.
Yes.
Yes, the next Tiger Woods, but it might also be the next person that's running a country club. It might be the next pro like Bob is here.
Yeah, absolutely.
It's getting the understanding there's a lot of different professions, and you're right in the wheelhouse of offering that.
And so, you know, we're so blessed to have, for our spring classes, we had 71 coaches, okay?
Right.
And we're very thankful for that to start with, but those people come from the business community, okay? And when we talk about teaching, you know, life skills, and we talk about, you know, entrepreneurship, okay, we got all walks of life that's coming there. So when these 6, 7, 8, 9-year-olds see that, okay, they're not only looking at putting or, you know, hitting a golf ball, but these coaches are sharing with them how they got to be in front of them, okay, to teach them what they're teaching. So it's all about the life skills.
I feel like, honestly, you're almost telling my story a little bit. I actually started a little bit later in life, mm-hmm. and I had severe ADD, which I have ADD still, but, like, I had severe.
Join the club.
Yeah, exactly. Those are the smart, you know, we're the idea people.
Yeah.
And golf is the one thing that settled me in. It made me hyper-focused on the sport, and it really helped me develop. And what that did then, being the youngest of seven, parents are always working, is it made me become disciplined in the etiquette of what I'm supposed to do on the golf course, and that really relayed into my life off the golf course.
Right. Yeah.
So I often tell my kids and kids that I still train and I still talk to a little bit, if you can be really good at golf, you don't have to be a pro.
Right.
If you hit the golf ball a long way, if you hit it straight, you're going to get the invitations as an entrepreneur in the CEO world.
Yes.
The general manager is going to say, hey, listen, we're going to play in the scramble. And then all of a sudden the owner of the company knows.
Yeah.
And guess what? Now all of a sudden you're developing a relationship with the owner. And golf is the catalyst. It's the vehicle to get you in front of these people.
Yeah.
And I think you guys are doing a fantastic job.
Thank you.
From a business side,
a
discipline side,
yeah.
This is my. I've been with Mark for 6 months now. This is my wheelhouse.
Yeah.
I have to say one thing. We have one of our students, Noah, and Noah sells lemonade, and it's very good. And so, I'm always encouraging him. I love to see that he's got that entrepreneurial spirit. He's got the support of his mom. And it was so funny, Carl, I ordered some lemonade, and I was here at Rocket Mortgage, but I could see it on my ring that they delivered it.
Oh, nice. Nice.
And it was delicious. But to your point about golf, particularly for girls, and I tell women all the time in the business world, go out and play golf.
Yeah.
That is a business tool.
My 13-year-old daughter, I've got her hitting balls at the net all the time.
Yeah.
Because women don't, you know. We need to just be out there and not be in the cart serving the drinks.
Yes.
We need to be out there making the deals.
Don't be
with
the pretty face and all the other things that goes on. Hit that ball down the middle,
that's
240.
Right.
Yeah.
And guess what? Respect is earned real quick.
That's right.
Yeah.
Carl, stepping away from golf, what type of experiences and lessons are participants in the First Tee program getting?
Well, I think they are getting the understanding that, you know, life in general is not just about always, you know, trying to be on top, okay? It's always an evolution, okay? It's evergreening. One of the things I always share with the coaches is that, you know, talk to them about, you know, a mulligan. You know, life is an opportunity, okay, for you to learn from that mistake, okay, Mulligan, all right?
Yep. And series of mulligans.
Right, exactly. Like this, right? Yeah, and, you know, just keep trying, but don't give up. If you got a dream, okay, stay with it. Stay focused, okay?
Yep.
Trust that what you're going to ultimately end up doing is what you want to do, okay? And you'll get there.
And the other thing, Tanya, I think with a program like this, we got just about a minute left, with a program like this, having youth engage with other people is so important. It learns, get in somebody's eyes, yep. Reach your hand out, and explore the world.
Well, I agree. We do all sorts of things with the kids, and we try to expose them to all different people. One of our supporters, obviously, is the Detroit Pistons. And we had Grant Long to come out and, you know, talk with the kids once they got past how tall he was.
Right.
You know? but he got right out there and practiced with the kids, but he shared his life story with them.
Yep.
And I thought that was so very important. So
that instills confidence and everything else.
Yep.
Can I just throw in one commercial?
You absolutely can.
August 23rd.
Yes.
We're going to be at the fabulous new St. John's Golf Course. Okay.
Yep.
Game changer. Go to firsttgreaterdetroit.org. And buy Foursome for us, okay?
We'll get that message right out there. Thank you.
Thank you.
Tanya Hill and Carl Bentley from First Tee, thank you so much. When we come back, the question everybody is asking right now, what's the weather going to be like tomorrow? Kim Adams is going to join us next from WDIV to give us that answer. We'll be right back. Welcome back to Focus. We're here live at the Detroit Golf Club for the second round of the Rocket Mortgage Classic. It's great to have you with us. Dine in or carry out the best Wiggly's Corned Beef Sandwiches around at Frank's Deli and Grill, 3405 Russell Street in Detroit's Eastern Market. Open every day from 7 a.m. to 5 p.m. While you're there, be sure to say hi to Victor, the owner. He loves his customers as much as the corned beef and as much as we love the corned beef. Coming up next, Greg Russell. There's a lot of new movies out. Some are getting some big talk. There's those that stream. There's those that are in the theaters. Greg, what do we got for today?
Hey, hope you're doing well, Mark. In regards
well, my
to
friend.
In the theater, you got it. In regards to the theater, we've got the new Kevin Costner movie called Horizon. If you like Westerns, then you'll probably really like this. It takes place during the time of the Civil War. There's a group of people who are trying to move west and, you know, just about all the things that they encounter. People want to know, well, why is this movie 3 hours long? Well, what it is it deals with the entire group, but then it also breaks down to individual stories about what's going on in their families and what they're all doing, you know, just to try to move on to this new way of life. And I do think we have a clip. Well, if we don't, like I said, it's just all about these people who are just trying to make their way, you know, to a brave move. When I got to talk to Kevin Costner about the movie, the one thing he said that he really wanted to make sure to get in there was the strength of women in regards to building this country, because there are a lot of strong female models in this. And also the people of all different backgrounds. You know, it wasn't just all one group, but it was several people who were out there trying to expand and, you know, build on to the West. Now, like I said, this is part one. Part two will be coming out a little bit later this summer.
And you and I are standing guard in one of the last great open spaces.
That looks like a promising place.
The place I might be able to see myself. You just have to stand at the river, and you can see what the men and the women up there see. That's what drove us across the ocean to this country in the first place. Hope.
The men who hunt this land, they're not going to share it with you. What you build, they will burn down.
We just got to keep going.
And there we go. Like we said, you know, very intriguing story. So, again, if you really like Western, this one definitely is for you.
How many Wiggly sandwiches are we looking at with this one?
For this one, we'll definitely give it a nice 3 Wiggly. Because it's very dramatic, very moving. But then again, you know, if you're not a Western person, it might not be necessarily your thing. But if you're into the Westerns and Kevin Costner, then this one you will enjoy.
A lot of us are here in Detroit are very excited about what's coming out on Netflix soon, the Beverly Hills Cop series, I guess you could say, kind of continues on, and we're all looking forward to that one.
That's for sure. Beverly Hills Cop, Axel F., like you said, Eddie Murphy and all the group are all back together again. What happened today is back here in Detroit, a situation lines up in Beverly Hills with his daughter, who is an attorney. Some big problem goes on. So he decides to go out there and see what he can do to help things out. You know, definitely runs back into Taggart and Rosewood and all the entire gang. And as usual, it's a lot of fun and a lot of action going on. And right now, here, we'll check out the clip on that.
Detective Foley, you ever read your own file? Shootouts, starting the piece, a lot.
Please tell me you didn't get arrested again.
Twice, but I broke out. I'm going
back, back to we put our lives on the line. Every day.
And for what?
Comes with the job if you're doing it right.
So how many people have you pissed off so far?
I haven't pissed off anybody.
Yeah, 50-50.
50-50. Is it that high?
So far.
Yeah. Wow.
And how many wigglies are we able to give that one? Have you seen that one already?
I have. I can't rate it because we have to hold the ratings until next week. But I do have to say this much, Mark. You heard all the bleeps in there. I needed that person to help me with my interview. I interviewed Eddie for the movie. And it was almost like two old friends sitting together, like in their basement. It's kind of like, okay, I'm going to have to cut here. I'm going to have to cut here. But it was a good interview. And then also, Jerry Bruckheimer is back as the producer. And as a lot of you know, he grew up here in Detroit. And I surprised him with a picture of the Mercury Theater, which was on the west side. And that was in the neighborhood he grew up in. And that's where he got his start into loving movies. So that was really a nice thing. But yeah, like you said, it comes out next Wednesday. Reviews are held back until next Tuesday, but I think Detroiters will enjoy it.
I was able to see a clip during the fireworks. WDIV had a clip as part of their broadcast, and that clip I actually saw live from the 26th floor of my apartment at the Stock,
wow,
overlooking the corner, and I filmed it. They did it like 8 times. Now, the action on the clip looked much more intense than this little slow plow coming around and taking out the crew. I think they took out like 5 different police cars to film for one, but it was so fun to be there while that was being filmed down in the streets with Eddie Murphy and the group.
That is so great. And the ironic part about that scene you're talking about is a good friend of mine is Grace Karros from American Coney Island. And when I saw the movie, I called her up. I knew it was late in Detroit, but I told her, I said, guess what? You're in the movie twice, 2 great shots of American Coney Island. So, you know, she was pretty happy, and so I got some Coneys and took them on the air today. So great.
And that corner is another – it's a famous corner. It was in Red Dawn as well. That was like the background for one of the big scenes in Red Dawn.
Hey.
Did you know that?
We need to. That part I did not know. I forgot it's, when
and
they
just, And just down the street from the bar where they had the cathedral for 8 Mile. It's like that area is like movie central.
You're like Cliff Clavin.
Yep. Yeah. I know my movies.
You have knowledge on so much different things that I would never think you'd have knowledge on. It's remarkable.
The Beverly Hills Cop, 1984, 2 was in 87, 3 was in 94, and we've all been waiting 30 years for this one.
That's for sure. And it's so funny, just when you mentioned number 3, you know, most people always consider that to be the one not to put on the list. As it turns out, people who were kids when that one came out loved it because they liked the amusement park aspect of it.
Yep. Yeah, they're all good. And Surge is coming back, and Reinhold's coming back, and it's mm-hmm. just going to be so much fun.
Good. Enjoy it. Let me know what you think next week.
Greg Russell, thank you so much. Appreciate having you on. We're going to be back with Kim Adams from WDIV, Emmy Award-winning meteorologist, right after this. Welcome back to the Detroit Golf Club Focus. It's been such a privilege to fill in the last 3 days for Paul W. Smith. I look forward to hosting on Sunday, JR Sunday. We've got Mike Tirico will be joining us along with Catalan, who will be in the booth calling all the action for CBS. It should be a good show on Sunday as well. Akshay Bhatia is the leader in the clubhouse. He's 13 under. Troy Merritt right behind him at 11, along with Taylor Montgomery. It's going to be a fun shootout tomorrow with a lot of guys right at the top until the championship on Sunday. We're excited. So as today's round wraps up, we're going to go out and spend a little time watching it come in while we're watching the skies. We're honored to have Kim Adams join us, meteorologist at WDIV, Emmy Award winning. One of the best, takes it serious. I always love watching your face when the rough weather's coming because you take it so serious, and you are into it.
I do.
The best was what I mentioned this when we were talking before, but watching you during the eclipse and the Northern Lights was so exciting. It was so much fun.
I do geek out just a little bit.
Just a little bit.
I had to catch myself sometimes. But, you know, I care about it. And you look at all the people here. Obviously, I can't control it, but I certainly am responsible for helping predict and prepare for, you know, people. And so when we have a situation like we have tomorrow, I feel it. I feel the tension from it. I feel the nerves.
There's a lot of decisions that need to be made around here, depending upon what tomorrow's weather is. You're looking at everything from on the grounds, potential evacuations like we had last year. Mm-hmm. What's going to happen with certain venues, hospitality spaces? Where are we at right now, knowing it could change over the course of the next 12 hours?
Right now, the models are a little more bullish on bringing in some pretty strong thunderstorms in the later afternoon and evening. At this point, looks more, you know, 2 to 6. Again, that can change. What's going to really make a difference is what happens in the morning and how long that rain holds on. If the rain from the overnight hours in the morning moves out pretty quickly and we get any sunshine at all in this what's called a warm sector, you're going to feel the humidity really go up tomorrow after that rain moves out. If you start seeing some sunshine, things like that, breaks in the overcast, the instability is going to be there. It doesn't take much to fire off some of these storms ahead of a cold front coming through. So it's really going to be how much the morning rain kind of zaps us of that energy and instability. But at this point, it looks like it may move out in time to where we'll have enough dry periods to kind of get the atmosphere juiced up again and ready for that cold front.
And Bob, how do players, when they know that's coming, how are they pacing themselves through the second round into the third, knowing it might be total, it might be partial, you don't know what's going to happen going into Sunday?
I think the biggest thing is you got to maintain, flexibility, right? And you have to make sure that you stay patient because you honestly, what Kim was saying, you could go out in the morning and there could be no electricity in the air, and you could play a soft golf course and you don't have to worry about a whole lot aside from a little bit of rain. And then in the afternoon, maybe you get a little delay, or there's a lightning in the area. You might play one shot, two shots. You might have to peg your ball on the green and then get everyone's sirens off the golf course, and then you got to go back out. So, you know, the back freezes up, the hammies get tight. You got to maintain a lot of flexibility. And with her expertise, I think that, you know, all the caddies really will be packing the bag for the, you know, variability of weather. And, you know, her being on top of her game, which, like she always is, is a very critical point to how these players perform and the caddies perform with the players.
She's my go-to. We call all the time when we need a little tip of what's happening, and always is spot on, and that's great. What we do know is today there is golf being played on the Detroit Golf Club, and Kim Alden, you get to go out and have a little bit of fun on the golf course. Are you looking forward to that?
Yeah.
I think your favorite player, if I'm going to guess right, played this morning. But who are some of your favorite players that are playing here?
Ricky Fowler.
Everybody loves Ricky Fowler, right? And you've got an orange hat to prove it.
Mm-hmm.
That's exciting. You going to have fun today?
Yeah.
Kim,
this is his first tournament, by the way.
But he's a big golfer.
He's a new golfer. He's been golfing for 3 years now. And, you know, I thought I dodged a bullet, a financial bullet, when none of my boys were interested in hockey.
Yeah.
And I thought, oh, all right, you know, baseball's a lot less expensive for equipment than hockey. And
4 o'clock
golf stuck up on you.
Yeah. Right, I have a tennis player. That was all right. No problem. A few rackets, I'm good to go.
Yeah.
And then this one's like, I'm really getting interested in golf. I was like, yeah, how bad could that be?
Better go back to work.
Hang on a second. Mom's got to get another job. So, but he loves it, and it's great. It's just, you know, it's fun to see him excited. And again, this is his first tournament, so thank you for having him.
Do you have some friends that you like to play with?
Yeah.
That play golf. Yeah, that's the best. That's one thing you will learn is you go into college and you get it. Is golf is a sport that will be with you for life, and it will continue to connect you with friends like I am with this old guy right here.
I'm going to tell you one thing. Results is the only thing that matters. It doesn't matter what's on the bottom of that club or what's on your shirt. Results is all that matters. When I started playing golf, I used a female driver for 2 years that was 2 inches shorter than all the other buddies of mine, and I was beating their butts all day long.
Oh, nice.
So just remember, results. is what matters.
Having fun is all that matters.
I was trying to say mom a little money there.
Yeah, that's exactly what I was thinking.
Her eyes got real big when I said that.
Perfect. So the clubs are a little short. It's okay. It's all right.
It's okay.
Bob keeps trying to give me lessons, and I'm like,
no,
don't take it serious unless you take it serious. And I don't. I go out. You know, I've been around golf all my life. My daughter's middle name is Augusta. I love the sport.
It is?
Yeah, it is.
How sweet is that?
And
really?
Yeah. And I like it because of the socialization and the participation, getting out in nature and all that. But we come from very different fronts. I've never had a lesson, nor will I ever.
So, Kim, here's the thing. I don't ever want to give him a lesson. So we all got to go play golf one day. Mm-hmm. And the reason why I don't want to give him a lesson is because he's so entertaining. He might make 3 birdies in a row, and then he might hit 4 houses in a row. You never know.
Keeps you on your toes. You never know what to expect. That's fun, right?
I've had a few shots. I was actually playing at Augusta with the chairman at the time, Billy Payne, and I was so nervous on the first tee. They announce your name down there at Augusta. They're like,
oh, wow.
Now on the team. And you're just like, your hands are shaking. I hit the ball like over the clubhouse, over the concession, and nobody hits it over the clubhouse at Augusta. He looks at me, and then, like you said, I went birdie, par, 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 and he's like, you are messed up.
I call him the variable.
The variable. Well, it's like throwing out the first pitch at a baseball game.
Yeah.
You never know. You know, they may hit it directly, and might be a great ball player, and then all of a sudden they get up there to throw out that first pitch, a celebrity or someone, and it just goes rogue. I think that happened the other day.
Rep Hamilton last night.
Was that what
low
it was?
And outside.
Yeah, low and outside. Yeah, exactly. Just never know what to expect.
He was out here yesterday. Are you excited to be on the course today?
Oh, my gosh. I am so excited. Yeah. It's just, you know, the energy coming in and the people. And, you know, I love these events coming to Detroit. Yeah, I would prefer, you know, something with a roof and a thermostat when I have to forecast for a big event. So I'm really excited about the Lions getting back in. And, you know, no one cares if it's storming at Ford Field because it's going to be, you know, dry and 70 inside.
Right.
But, you know, we've had all these big events. They've all been outside. And, you know, this getting 4 days in a row, though, you guys have to give me a break, though. In late June, early July, let's get 4 dry days in Metro Detroit. It's just really tough to do. I do want to mention Sunday, too. And, Bob, maybe you can talk about this. You know, storms are one thing. We could get some very heavy rain. So, obviously, that's going to affect the greens.
Yeah.
But there's going to be some wind on Sunday. Possibly, you know, 20, 25, maybe even 30 mile per hour winds. So it'll be much less humid. It'll be very dry. There'll be northerly winds. But I'm sure that's got to play into things as well when you get those kind of winds.
Yeah, so you could start in the morning and the greens are a little softer, and then the wind comes in, the dry weather comes in, and the cool front comes on.
Mm-hmm.
And all of a sudden they go from, you know, a fast to really fast.
Yeah.
Within 2 or 3 holes. So,
okay.
And that also goes in the fact that it takes those fairways from wider to narrower because the balls are hitting and bouncing. So that's where, you know, obviously your expertise comes in. But, like, from a golfer's point of view, mm-hmm. when that wind and the caddy's point of view, if you don't know hole to hole, you know, back 9 to front 9, you have no idea. Like, it could change 2 or 3 on the step meter as far as speed goes.
So you're saying I should probably be with the caddies then and just follow them around, right, on Sunday?
The caddies are the ones that give
those
the information.
The ones, right? So. Yeah, so those are the
players
ones that
hit
I,
it. Yeah.
Yep, that's the then that's who we need
caddies
to follow
around.
Caddies
are the catchers of the golf.
Well, they
golf
ask world. Alden actually this year where he golfs to caddy. He's 12. He's old enough now, but he said, you know, I don't know about carrying these big
bags.
These bags. And he's like, maybe I wait until next year to do that.
Yeah,
so.
I'd like someone carry your bag. That's where we got to go with this.
There you
that's
go.
That's right.
With your female club that's 2 inches too short,
whatever.
Right? Because it doesn't matter.
As long as it goes down the middle, buddy. That's all you need, Alden.
We have two of the best producers on this show, the Kingpin, and he loves all the places I take the remotes to. They're always outside. They're cold. They're chilly. And we love being in the elements. Mike Parsons, who does a great job with Paul W. Danielle Mason, is back in the studio as well. Couldn't do it without you guys, and much appreciated. Thanks for joining us. We'll be back Sunday, 8 to 10, right here on WJR. Hope you'll join us. And as always, keep driving, Detroit.